Thanks for joining me at the campfire this evening. On nights like this, I like to sit and watch the stars come out. From here, we have an amazing view of this ancient landscape. I always think it helps one to gain perspective. It's a great place to let go of stress and worry and find rest. Each night, we like to begin with a little wind-down exercise. Tonight's exercise is a visualization. So when you're ready, let's begin. Just take a moment to get comfortable, letting go of the day. Enjoying that feeling of having stopped, of having nothing to do and nowhere to go. We're just going to focus the attention of the mind on the different parts of the body, watching as the muscles in the body switch off for the night, leaving the body feeling rested and leaving the mind more at ease. So just starting down at the toes, and just a sense of the muscles switching off, the feet, the arches, all those muscles switching off. Same in the lower half of the legs. So any tension being let go of as the muscles switch off, shut down. In the upper half of the legs, any tension just melting away, being let go of. Into the area of the hips, the pelvis. Again, any muscles shutting down for the night, completely at rest. Everything from the waist downward is heavy, at ease. The muscles in the lower back and the stomach now switching off. Middle of the back, around the diaphragm, the upper back and the chest. So any muscles not needed, shutting down, switching off for the night. The shoulders just switching off. The upper half of the arms and the lower half of the arms just switching off. The hands, fingers, just switching off. Any muscles around the throat and the neck switching off. The head, the face, the jaw, the eyes, any last areas of tension just melting away. As the muscles shut down, switch off. At rest for the night. And allowing thoughts to come and go. Just allowing the mind and body the space they need to rest. I've made this campfire in the same place, just by my cabin, for as long as I can remember. I laid these red bricks in a circle around the campfire so the flames can't spread. Our campfire is small, but its flames will keep us nice and warm in the cool desert air. The fresh air in this desert smells sweet. The breezes are soft and cool now, carrying the night-blooming perfumes of plants to us. I can smell desert sage blending with the smoky cedar from the campfire. I love to take a big, deep breath of all these smells. It keeps me warm and clears my mind like a good cup of tea. The scent will keep bugs away, although I haven't seen many around here, aside from these little crickets. They sound a bit like the campfire crackling away, don't they? The flames are the color of sunflower petals. It's so pleasant to rest your eyes on the shifting colors, yellow and orange and soft red, reaching up to the starry sky before they flicker out. The campfire sends up little sparks, shimmering like the constellations above us. This campfire is our very own star in the evening, a circle of light and warmth. One by one, the stars come out around the moon. The stars emerge slowly, as if the night sky was a fountain and each star was a coin that we have thrown in for good luck. Yet even more than wishes, we look for stories in the stars of the sky. Any shimmering star that you can see, that star might belong to a larger constellation. Right now, in the center of the sky, I can see Polaris marking the north. Directly down and a bit to the left, the Big Dipper floats through the evening. This constellation has 7 stars. 3 of the stars lead down to form a handle, and the other 4 stars swoop up to make a bowl. Together, the 7 stars look like a massive spoon. So we call this constellation the Big Dipper. I like to make my own stories for constellations sometimes. Maybe a long time ago, the Big Dipper scooped up glittering grains of sugar to spread across the sky. And maybe that's why you can see so many stars now. You could imagine that Polaris is another lump of sugar just across from the bowl of the Big Dipper. A few weeks ago, The rain fell upon this desert. The land may seem dry and dusty now, but those rains made so many plants blossom and bloom. Over there, that's a globe mallow. This bush has fuzzy green leaves and bright orange flowers along its stalks. With five round petals, those flowers seem like slices of apricot with a teaspoon of golden pollen in the middle. The desert five spot also grows around here. This flower also has five petals, white on the inside and lilac purple on the outside. Each petal has one bright red polka dot. This flower would make a lovely teacup, and the blossoms certainly gather dewdrops easily with how the petal curls up. The prickly pear cactus grows taller than these plants. Even if little spines cover this cactus, it is still beautiful to see. Its leaves are dusty green, shaped like ovals. The leaves stack on top of each other, and the flowers and fruits that develop on the outer edges of the leaves, they almost seem like red and orange lace on the fringe of a green blanket. The flowers bloom from lime green pods in bursts of tangerine and lemon shades with too many petals to count. As the petals fall, the red fruit and prickly pear balloons out. The Joshua tree also produces flowers. Atop its spiky green branches, those tiny white flowers grow in great bunches, gathering up upon each other. When the Joshua tree branches bend and twist with these white flowers towards the ends, it's as though the tree is offering you a lace handkerchief. All of these delicate flowers stand out against the rocks of the desert, adding color to the view and perfume to the winds. By the glow of the moon and stars, you can see for miles in the desert at night. The sand and rocks go on and on, forming mountains or valleys or just flat plains of earth. The land is yellow and dry, with strips of red clay running through, although the land and clay appear silver and platinum now. Above us, the sky seems infinite. There are no buildings here to interrupt your gaze, nothing to hide the sky. Earth and air can stretch out luxuriantly. Yes, the Joshua trees are really the tallest things around here. The trunk of the Joshua tree is brown and rough, growing up into its branches. On the tops of the branches, spiky green leaves sprout even taller. If a firework was a plant, then it would be a Joshua tree. Shooting up from the earth, they add flashes of green to the desert horizon. The sky is so wide here, you can easily see clouds form and dissolve. A cloud will gather in one corner of the silky blue sky, float and twist and vanish in the wind that carried it. Perhaps this is how the sky breathes. As a cloud passes in front of the moon, a shadow falls on the land like someone laying a blanket on a bed. We often don't think of it this way, but moonlight is really a result of sunshine. The sun shines, and the moon reflects its rays, and we can see the moon wax and wane as the earth's shadow passes over it. The moon is so bright that when the orbit's angle is just right, we can even see it during the daytime. Now it's night, and the desert sky has darkened to the color of blue velvet. The moon is the brightest light around us. It's so bright, the moon dims the stars around it in a silvery halo. The glow of the moon falls upon the ground like a mist. Every speck of sand around us, every pebble and stone, they all glint as though the moonlight has turned them to diamonds and pearls. You can see all the way to the mountains by the light of the moon. There, around the top of the tallest mountain in the distance, the moon lends the clouds a silvery aura. If the night sky was a pond, then the moon would be a white magnolia petal sailing on smooth water. There are no street lamps in this desert. No buildings or bridges, nothing to block the glow of the night sky. Stars and planets shine here as brightly as they did thousands of years ago. You can even see full planets. In fact, you've chosen a special night to visit the desert. It's one of the rare summer evenings out of thousands where you can see many planets at once. Venus, the second planet from the sun, now slips under the moon. They rise around the same time in the evening. Venus is truly much bigger than the moon, but to us in the desert, the planet looks small, glowing pink. Beyond Venus floats Saturn, and this evening you can almost see its rings. You can imagine the water, ice, and rocks of space swirling together to frame Saturn in hazy rings. Mars is the fourth planet. And tonight, you can see it hanging far above Venus and the moon. The Martian rock covering the planet mellows out to a reddish tint that you can see with your own eyes from down here. Just imagine how vivid the craters must really be. We can only see a soft red glow, like the center of the flame on a candle, or an ember from the campfire. Each of these planets spins along its own path, giving us a glimpse of its journey. Tonight you can see the moon glowing on the soft hills and valleys of the sand dunes. Yes, the glow of the moon makes the sand seem so silvery as the breeze carries it over the dunes. You could almost imagine the silvered sand tinkling as it falls, like little bells. As winds blow across the desert, they gather grains of yellow sand, sweeping them into that corner of the landscape. The piles of sand grow, forming a windward side towards the desert breeze. The breeze pushes more sand up along the dune until it falls over the top, shaping the smooth slip face of the dune. The sand dunes in this desert are shaped like crescents, as though each sand dune is a little waning moon. Atop many of these dunes, you can see the creosote bushes fluttering. These bushes grow very big, stretching their roots through the sand to find water. If you crush a leaf, the fresh scent of sap will stay on your fingertips. If I had to say, creosote smells like this warm earth after it rains, when the land welcomes any water. Dancing along its branches, the creosote bush grows tiny yellow flowers, no bigger than a thimble. Each flower has five flaxen petals curling around a burst of golden pollen. These blossoms scatter in the wind, rolling up and down the dunes like the grains of sand. Yes, something so delicate can bloom in the desert. Sometimes it feels like the desert is made more from open air than any other material. The breeze rushes into canyons. Wind sweeps across the fields of sand. Yet as simple as the landscape appears, the desert is the work of millions of years. Hundreds of thousands of years before we made this cozy campfire, there was a giant glacier frozen in place. As the sun warmed the land, the glacier slowly melted, leaving the valley of the desert. And a long time after the glacier thawed, pieces of the earth shifted, rising into the lush mountains that border the desert. Perhaps a spring gushed forward to flow into a river, running down the mountain into nearby hills. Every season that the river flowed, the water smoothed the rocks around it, cutting a path through the mountain. When the river dried like the glacier long before, its passageway shaped a canyon. In another 10,000 years, the desert will look very different from what we see now.